I was at a Pride festival the other week. There was a booth that literally said gay socialists for gun rights. Any hope for right wingers like Robbie and gay socialists to coalesce? Robbie, are you going to coalesce with some gay dudes?
Well, listen, what you do in your house, I don't care. What I have a problem with is whenever these people who sponsor these parades then look at me and say, you stop telling people about Jesus. How dare you shove your religion down my throat? Meanwhile, yeah, they're doing this. I mean, who you sleep with should not be a matter of public celebration. That's the part for me that I don't understand.
What if a man and a woman are on a bench in a park and they kiss? Is that showing their sexuality also?
Or holding hands?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit different than a parade down Main Street, don't you think? I mean, and
no,
also,
it is, they're showing their sexuality off or something like that. I mean, require a parade.
Or a certain singer-songwriter marrying a football player in Madison Square Garden.
Okay, so let me see if I can articulate this in the way that that makes sense, because unlike the two of you, I think that birthright citizenship is a disaster. It should never be a thing. And that Trump did this the wrong way to make sure that I think it was a poison pill. I think he did this deliberately to blow it up that way he could show his base that this is, look, I'm fighting for you. Those evil Supreme Court people, they blew it up. So it is what it is. I think that's what this is.
I wouldn't put that
was, if he knew it was doomed from the beginning.
Well, I don't know if he knew it
was
doomed.
Performative.
Oh, for sure.
It was performative in a way that could have had dramatic consequences.
Yeah, he could once again have been a dog who caught a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, I don't think so, because even someone as dumb as him knows an executive order is not a law, and it's not. One vote away from it working, though.
One vote.
So what? But you got to put on a good show. But to get back to the point about what the question is, who you sleep with is a personal preference. And this whole LGBT thing, in my opinion, is just the new state secular religion. It's just like you got to show how good of a tolerant liberal you are, or how good of a person is that you are. And if you don't, then you're just excluded from the public conversation. I think that's really what this all boils down to. I sleep with a black woman. I should not get a parade saying, here's to all the Oreos out there. Who cares? Who you sleep with does not matter.
Robbie, this is one of those cases where I'm saying you are, and I don't mean this poorly, you're looking at this from a white male perspective.
Because I'm a white male.
Right. But you got to see this from the other side of this. Like, meaning if you were never in a situation where the country itself either kept you in a closet, uh-huh. Saw you as being something to revile, or for that matter, institutionalize laws and everything else in order to denigrate you as an individual. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that to say that if you were in that situation, you may have a society, or let's say a culture, that is in some respects performative, but in some respects pushes back strongly against those aggrievements. And you could say, well, dude, we're in 2026. But that doesn't necessarily change the fact that all of those things took place. There was no break in time, and societies and cultures create means of dealing with levels of opposition. And one of those means is James Brown, I'm black and I'm proud, or rappers showing bling and talking about how much ass they get because of, you know, this idea of feeling less than a man. And so they need to be supermen in regards to the way they define masculinity. I'm saying, and I'm not saying this poorly, I'm saying you're looking at this from a certain context, but
I'm looking at it from a Christian context, because homosexuality in Christianity is an abomination. That is the context I'm looking at it for. So if you really want me to tell you what I think, I'll tell you what I think. It should be illegal if we live in a Christian country, but we do not. Now, the question is, can Robbie look the other way and make common cause with someone over civil liberties with someone that he does not agree with on that issue? The answer is yes, I can.
It's not an issue. What do you mean it's an issue? I'm saying, is your sexuality an issue? Meaning, is the fact that you find your black woman attractive, is that an issue?
No, because it's not condemned in the Bible.
Do I need to say, well, I don't think black women should go with white men. Now it's an issue.
Do you
give a shit about my agreement on your sexuality?
I do if it's enforced by the point of law. I mean, hate crimes are a thing. If you're a protected class, based off who it is that you sleep with, and you are held to a different legal standard, that is a problem. Like me, I'm a business owner. I own a company. So if someone comes to me and he's an open homo, and he's like, Robbie, I want you to make a video for my gay pride event. I will tell you no. I can then get sued for that for civil rights.
And by the way, that's I think you have a right to say no.
That's the issue.
Well, you can't be sued for it anymore, right? Due to the the Denver Baker case.
But that's the point I'm trying to make, though. Once you start carving out exceptions for people because of what you look like or who you sleep with or any other number of things, then justice is no longer blind and you don't have equal representation under the law, because at that point, you're then putting weights on that scale. That's the whole issue. That's the problem that I have.
They didn't put the weights on the scale. The society itself put the weights on the scale when it had opposition to the fact that those people existed. As you pointed out, for you, it's an issue. For them, it is just their sexuality. I'm saying it's not more of an issue any more than you and who you sleep with. It's something that people make an issue. It's a difference in those things. Nobody says, breathing air is an issue for people, because everybody does it. It's assumed that people do it. It's just understood as the way they operate. Nobody says same-sex relationships are a, quote, issue. Mm-hmm. But they do say it about homosexuality because it was made an issue in this country. We have laws in this country about sex between same-sex couples, that you could be arrested for stuff like that. I mean, we're not talking about Britain. But I hope you get my point. The very fact that we call it an issue when it's really just the sexuality between two people.
I'm not so sure. I wanted to, and we do need to move on, but Robbie, I'm curious, like, for people like you, conservatives, Christians, I lived in New York City for most of my life. It's a huge gay city. There's not a lot of PTAs, even in Manhattan, on a day-to-day basis between, you don't see a lot of, it's very rare to see two dudes holding hands or much less even kissing each other on the lips to say goodbye. Even in the Village, you don't see that very much. Gay Pride Parade is once a year. You kind of have to make a point to go see it. The odds are you'll miss it. You'll be home when it's going on.
Celebrating where you put your dick, Ted. Come on. You get a whole month celebrating where you put your dick. Listen.
Nobody's spending the month like, it's not like, oh, it's another day. It's another like man on man, extravaganza. Everybody go out and suck another dude's cock. It's not like that's every day in a month. It's sort of like it's Pride Month and you don't remember it or think about it, right?
Okay. I need you to do me a favor. Stop pissing down my back and tell me it's raining. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, how much do you, I mean, especially where you live, there can't be that many, like, so much, that much gay culture in your up in your face, right?
Again, to address the issue, the question that was asked, can I make common cause with someone for civil liberties? The answer is yes. I 100% can.
Cool.
I do that right now with the two of you.
True.
Where the line is crossed is when, with the force of the state behind you, you then say that I have a protected status. It's kind of like your precious Syrians or your precious Afghans, your Afghani traders who you seem to have no problem coming here. These are issues that are being conflated. At the end of the day, what my question is who the hell is looking out for the American people? The answer is nobody. That's the issue. That's the question. True. And you can suck a dick or whatever else that you want to do, if we can get on board with that, and if you're willing to accept the fact that I believe what you do in your bedroom is an abomination, but I'm not in your bedroom, so I don't care.
Right.
Then we can work together. However, you start coming out at me swinging and say, Robbie, you're a bigot and all these other things. You'd be debanked, deplatformed. You'd be put in jail because of all this stuff. Fuck you and the horse that you rode in on. I'm being very clear here. That is my stance. That is where I will, that's the hill I will die on. We can work together on
something. I can accept that.
Well, a lot of people can't. And as you can tell, I'm kind of pissed off right now because we have so many more bigger issues going on in this country right now. And we've got wedge issues like, oh, Johnny and Tim, look how brave they are because they fuck each other in the ass. Who cares? At the end of the day, seriously, who cares?
I mean, having never been fucked in the ass or having been pegged, I think it would require some courage.
I recently
had those anal skin tags removed, and let me tell you, when I dropped chow and exposed my holiest of holies to that proctologist, I was like, it was scary. So I kind of think, it takes some nuts to let something up in there.
Yeah. It requires some courage. That's the quote.
You know what I wish? Honest to God, this is something I mean, and the two of y'all are just over here just crapping over this whole concept of birthright citizenship. I've made this argument multiple times. No one cares. Fine. Fair enough. The Supreme Court. Oh, they ruled on it twice. In the 1800s, they didn't have airplanes. You didn't have massive demographic change. You have an influx of millions of people come across the border every single fucking year because they couldn't get here back then. Right. Now, all of a sudden, it's an issue, and there's no one on the left or the right who gives a single solitary flying fuck about the American people. That's the issue. If you'll stand with me for that, I'm 100% in your corner.
Nobody's taking issue. I don't think we crapped on the birthright citizenship in and of itself. I think we were crapping on the issue of the Trump being able to just blow it away with the executive order.
Birthright citizenship was never a thing unless you were a slave. Trump did this the wrong way, and I think he did that deliberately in order to put this issue to bed once and for all, because he wants those sweet, sweet H-1B visas, and he wants open borders just like the Democrats do. And the problem is he has to find a way to lie to his base, the people who are still stupid enough to believe him. That's what this is.
Well, Robbie, first of all, two things statistically. About 250,000 people a year emigrated to the United States in the 1850s and 1860s. I just looked it up. So they did, no planes, but they were able to get here by boat.
And the majority of them went back home, didn't they, Ted?
No, not according. No, this is the net migration. And then also the other thing is that like the number of people, birthright citizens, the kids, number of citizens who are coming in that way, being born here by foreign parents is really a small percentage of immigration into the U.S. I mean, if you're, a nativist and you're trying to, America keep foreigners out, that's a trickle, right? The real flow is like these massive is people overstaying their visas. It's like the open border policy that Biden had. That's where the real, that's where
close the border for 100 single fucking years, Ted. No immigrant, none, zip, zilch, zero, none. Close the border. That's the answer.
Answer to what?
The problem. That's the issue.
It's. I think 100. We should never have any policy to do anything that's 100 years long. Period.
Yeah.
I mean,
We can play. No, we can play with it. Maybe we can make it 99. Maybe 90. but the point right. I'm trying. The point like I'm trying to make is. The point that I'm trying to make is if you have either one of y'all ever been to Gary, Indiana?
Yes.
What does it look like?
It is a hellscape. It is a bleak post-industrial, hyper rust belt, super mega polluted hellhole. And
who's looking out for them, Ted?
Living there.
Who's looking out for those people? Who's looking out for the people down the street in Columbia Falls, a little town that you stayed at whenever you came and visited me last year? Who's looking out for them?
No, look, you and I are on the same page.
And the people,
I will repeat what I've always said. No, the United States should not be importing foreign workers as long as the unemployment rate in the United States is over 0%. Period.
Agreed. I can agree with that.
You probably need to even go further because the truth is that, like, if it's not enough to just have full employment, you also need to eliminate underemployment. You need to make sure wages are not depressed, which, you know, has not been the situation, but at least bare minimum, right? Okay, so let's do...
By the way, I think we agree on this. Like,
yeah,
I don't think we have radical disagreement on this front.
I think birthright citizenship is abused sometimes, but like the fact
sometimes,
is...
Sometimes? But every solved, day?
But it solves some big... But it solves a bigger problem than it creates. You know, so that's the thing. I mean, countries like France that don't have it, have second, third, fourth generation illegal immigration, and these people end up living in a permanent underclass in the shadows. If they, you know, if they see a terrorist in their community, they're not going to call the police and tell them because they're afraid of getting busted themselves. That's not good for society. They're afraid to call the fire department if they see someone's house burning. That's not good for society. You want people fully integrated, you know?
Okay, so the problem is, Ted, and we just like what happened in, you said all over the West. You don't need to integrate if you have a welfare state. The whole reason people integrated back in the 1800s is because there was no welfare state. In order to be a success in the United States, I would say that you have to forget your culture. But you have to come, you have to learn English, and you have to at least nominally adopt the culture from which you came. Like there were no hyphenated Americans. If you're an Italian or a Russian or a Brit or whatever, you come to New York, you go through Ellis Island, you process through.
Those were all illegal immigrants, by the way, right? I mean, they didn't come with visas. They just showed up like a hare on the soup, in the French expression. They were illegals, all of them. It was just like no difference than Eagle Pass, Texas, under Biden. I mean, they just showed up, hoped for the best. And it was like, oh, you might not have TB. All right, you're cool. Come on in.
The whole point is, you know, and I'm saying a lot of the chat, so Robert, you're an immigrant. I am not an immigrant. I can assure you I 100% am not an immigrant. My ancestors helped conquer this continent. They didn't steal it. They didn't settle it. They came here. They took ass. They own it. So I'm not an immigrant. So first off, screw you. Second,
I mean, you say that, I'm like, but then you criticize the Zionists who did the same thing, right?
Yeah, because
we're doing the same thing.
Because, listen, I get it, but here's the difference is that the United States is funding the genocide. So that's the problem.
What's the difference?
That's the issue. Okay.
No. I'm saying, what's the difference? If you can harness some power, whatever that power is, in order to conquer a particular country, that's effectively what you were chest thumping about. We didn't steal it. We conquered it.
Correct.
Well, the Israelis.
That's the story of human history. But you know what? The Israelis can't do it on their own. They have to be financed and supported by other people from all around the world. And then the whole time while they're doing it, they're playing the victim card. Also, let's keep in mind, we're talking about whenever my ancestors came over here in the 1600s, it was a radically different age. It was a different time. It was a different world. The reason I bring that up is, you get these clowns in the chat, Robbie, you're an immigrant. No, brother, I'm not an immigrant. My family's been here for over 400 years. And unlike the Israelis, I got receipts. So,
I mean, I'm sort of an anchor baby. My mom, you know, became a citizen after me. My mom married my dad, came here to the United States, got a green card. That was 1961. I was born in 63. Obviously, I was a citizen at birth. But my mom didn't get citizenship until the bicentennial year of 1976. Although,
did she sneak across the river, Ted, or did she come in legally?
No, she came in legally. She married dad. Immigration policy at that time was very easy. If you married some American, you were in.
Then welcome to a world. Welcome to America. See, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of the issue right now. We don't even know what the rules are.
The key native here, considering my grandfather was Native American.
You guys weaseled your way in across the barrier, taking advantage of loose ice age borders.
No, that was pretty wild. No, the whole land bridge.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And then walking up. Now here's the question that I have. If that's true, why did they bring horses with them? Why didn't they? Because horses are not indigenous to the Americas.
I don't think the horses could have made it.
But we don't know because, I mean, if the climate was different, if it was cold enough.
It was the tundra, right, when they came across that shit. And these were basically like Mongols, right? So they were like, these were tough fucking people who like lived under brutal conditions, and they trudged across the ice across the Arctic and made their way here. I mean, it's fucking incredible. Assuming
that's hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah,
I can't get over the Polynesians, right? Who came all the way across the Pacific diagonally to the Americas in dugout canoes, right? Like, hey, we're gonna dig out a log and just get on the high seas.
Yeah, see where it goes.
Balls. Yeah, that's.
Were they colonizers, Ted? Polynesians? Should they pay reparations?
I would say, since no human beings lived here at the time, by definition, they're not colonizers.
I'm talking about the Polynesians, not the Indians.
No, I'm talking about the Polynesians. There was no one here, so therefore, they're not colonizers. They're OG.
So the Polynesians were living in Florida at the time?
Well, it doesn't look like their populations survived, right? They're not in the gene pool, so it doesn't look like they made it.
I think they probably got as far as Hawaii and said, hey, this is as far as we can go.
I think they got here and somehow they just, it's like first Jamestown settlement. It just didn't go well, you know?
So do y'all have any more questions for me before I go back to producer land, before I set the shed more on fire?
Probably, but you can go back.